Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
Alleluia. Be seated. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul and leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. The 23rd Psalm can be spoken and emphasized in a lot of different ways. The Lord is my shepherd. God, the God of Israel, is a shepherd who leads us and guides us, restores us, and makes us lie down in green pastures. So the Lord as a shepherd is one way that has been read and spoken and understood in the tradition. But I want to ask you to think about it with a little bit of slight different emphasis today. Instead of the Lord is my shepherd, I want you to hear the Lord is my shepherd. Makes a big difference, doesn't it? Because what that says, when you emphasize that, is actually the reality of ancient Israel, right? When Israel goes into the land promised, the land filled with milk and honey, it's not just filled with milk and honey. It's also filled with other people, with other gods, who are their shepherds. And it's a great temptation for the people of Israel to look around and go, wow, these guys have been here a long time. And look at the crops they have. Wow, their gods must be really good. Let's chase after them for a while. Let's see what they do so that we can have abundance like they have. And the culmination of that sort of thing, that sort of thinking about looking around and seeing the other nations, is when the people decide that they want a king. Remember that story? The prophet Samuel, they clamor because they want a king just like the nations around them. And God was like, well, gee, I thought I was their king. Did they want another king? Another shepherd? Someone else to lead them? And as that story plays out, as you all know, Samuel warns the people, listen, you want a king? Here's what he'll do. He'll inscript your men to fight his battles. He'll make your women, your daughters, his slaves, and he will take a whole big portion of all of the crops that you have. And they all go, sounds like a good deal to us. And they ask for a king. But the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. The God of Israel is my shepherd. Which makes it, as we've been talking, that there are other claimants to that position. And there are still claimants to that position even now. We are all having to listen to lots and lots of different voices in lots and lots of different ways. And they're telling us what to do, how to do it, how to think, what to think. And it doesn't matter who we are all getting those voices and we're all hearkening to them in one way or another. And so this morning is a great opportunity for us to stop, to pause, and to listen to this beautiful psalm and to listen to Jesus riff on this psalm. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And once again, the emphasis is important. He doesn't just say, "I am a shepherd. Maybe you should come follow me." He says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd who lays down his life. Just like in 23rd Psalm, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." Jesus sort of takes that echo of that and says, "I lay down my life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd." And the implication there is any other shepherd ain't that good. And we know that that's the case. And so again, Jesus, in his talking about being a good shepherd, is also inviting us today to stop and think about who is our shepherd. Who are we listening to? What voices do we hear? And here's the thing. That's going to take a change of our mentality, because a lot of times we think we got to get things done. We've got to make decisions now. We've got to get this done because it's really important, right? And you can hear that in every corner of the world. Just yesterday, we were in Synod Assembly on Zoom. And here's what it was just pretty stunning, actually. What we were talking with, there's only one resolution. Only one, which is really, thanks be to God, there was only one. And it was an important, you know, it was about stewardship of the earth and global warming and things that the church might do. So there it was, and there was a half hour of discussion about it, which is how much time they had given for it. 1 half hour, no more. And then we all had to vote to extend the conversation for another half hour to make it one full hour of conversation about what the church should do about the environment and global warming. That's all we got. It made me think, you know, we need a shepherd to lead us beside still waters, to make us sit for a while in green pastures, to stop and think, you know what? Who is it that's guiding this thing so that we have to make a decision on such a big thing in 1 hour? Because we got to move on. Instead, wouldn't it be great if we could have said, we're going to talk about this, and then we're going to talk about it some more, and we're going to pray about it, and we're going to take time to pray for each other before we talk about this topic, which is controversial for some. And we're going to pray for the people who feel like it's controversial for them. And then we are going to get together and we're going to talk some more. And we're going to pray some more. Until the Spirit of God descends upon us and says, this is the way to go. Didn't happen that way. It reminds me of the great story of the Quakers around the time when the Quakers were trying to decide whether or not they could have slaves in the New World. And some owned slaves and some didn't. And it was a huge conversation. And it was incredibly controversial. I mean, slave ownership was the way of life in the South. And Quakers entered in. Some. And some didn't. And then they decided that we really need to talk about this. And so they took time and they visited one another and they did exactly what I've talked about before. They prayed with one another and They tried to figure out ways in which people could get out of that slave trade. And it took them years and years of visiting each other and praying with each other until finally it was agreed upon by everyone. As you know, Quaker consensus means everyone comes in saying, I can assent to this. Imagine your whole livelihood gets changed because they stopped and they listened and they prayed and they heard the voice of the Good Shepherd who said, this is not for your good, this slave trade. You cannot be a part of it. And so they got out of it. They took all that time, and still, they were decades ahead of anybody else in renouncing slavery in this country. Just to me, this beautiful example of stopping and waiting on the Spirit of God to make our decisions. Now, it doesn't just happen way back in the 1800s. It happens in our time too. The whole idea of waiting on the Good Shepherd. So many of you know, remember Joe and Esther Riggs, right? And Joe was sick with Parkinson's and he was in his wheelchair at that time and wasn't getting around very well. And Esther was taking care of him and wanted to take care of him and was just waiting. At some point, it became too much for her, but she didn't know what to do. She just felt like she needed to pray about it. So she did. Her sister, many of you remember B as well, was, Esther, you've got to get somebody in here. Esther was like, I am praying about that. I am waiting for God to tell me what I'm supposed to do. B says, well, there's not going to be somebody just knocking on your door to come take care of Joe. You got to get some work done. Go, go, go. Esther said, I will pray about it. Not long later, she gets a phone call from her neighbor, the woman who owns the house next door to her. She doesn't live in the house. She says, Esther, there's going to be a couple coming to look at our house. I want you to, if you don't mind, give them the key, maybe show them around the house. You know the house. And Esther said, sure, I'll be happy to. So, sometime later, people come, knock on the door, say, we're here to see the house. And Esther says, yes, yes, gets the key, shows them around, opens the house, shows them around. They kind of like the house, it's nice. And then Esther says, well, how about you come over and have a burrito? You got to have a burrito if you're at Esther's house if you've never been there before. And the woman says, oh, that sounds lovely. The man says, no, we don't want to put you in any trouble. And so we'll get our own dinner. And she says, well, how about a cup of coffee? And they said, well, okay, a cup of coffee. So they come into Joe and Esther's house, and there's Joe in the living room in his wheelchair. Esther disappears into the kitchen to make the coffee. The two women, the man and the woman, are there, and they're sitting with Joe, and Esther's in the kitchen. And all she hears from the living room is all this laughter, right? They're just having a blast. They're having a party out there in the living room. And Esther's like, here I am, you know, sort of like, you know, Mary and Martha, right? Martha's in there cooking up the coffee and everything, and everybody's having a blast out there in the living room. So she comes back in. She has the coffee. She brings it in, sets it down, gives everybody their coffee. Woman takes a sip of coffee, and then she says, Esther, we're going to take that house next door to you. And she says, oh, lovely, that's great. And she says, well, that's not all, Esther. She says, we have fallen in love with Joe. Like in 5 minutes, they've fallen in love with him. Esther says, well, what about me? Am I chopped liver or something? But Esther and I talked about this later, and what we both came to the realization was that by that time, Joe, all of his, every hard edge of Joe had been worn down by his suffering. And he was just this beautiful, rounded, smooth soul. And so, of course, everybody fell in love with him when they met him. So she says, so we've fallen in love with Joe, and I am a professional caregiver, and I am going to help you take care of Joe. The good shepherd knows what we need, knows what the world needs, and tells us, wait. In fact, this is a little bit of advertisement for the Bible study on the book of Acts, but in the book of Acts, the first five verses, we ripped through the first five verses on Wednesday night. And here's what happens. Jesus shows himself to his disciples by many proofs, shows them his hands and all that. And then he says, the first command that he gives his disciples is not, as you might think in the book of Acts, get out there and change the world, proclaim the gospel, heal the sick, take care of all injustice, go out there and change the world, and bring the kingdom of God into being. Well, the disciples are going to do some of that. But the first thing that Jesus says to the disciples is wait. Wait in Jerusalem. And a little later he says, wait there until you are clothed with power from on high, until you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Wait. And so, my dear friends, on this Good Shepherd Sunday, when we know there is much to be done, we are called to wait, to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, to feel the spirit of the Good Shepherd in us. Yes, there is much to do. Yes, there are a lot of decisions that have to be made. Yes, to all of that. The world is hurting and needs healing. But it will receive healing from a people who have stood still, who have received that healing themselves, who know what it's like to stand and to lie down in green pastures and be comfortable sitting by still waters, so that our souls can be restored, that we can be led into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jesus is the good shepherd. We're pretty lousy at it. So let us wait and feel the power and the spirit of the good shepherd who lays down his life for this flock and for flocks of which we do not yet know. Yes, we will go. But we will go in the spirit of Jesus. And that will make all the difference. Thanks be to God, the Good Shepherd. Amen.